Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 2. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou wert fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath a sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, how good, how gracious, and how long-suffering thou art. Thou hast watched over us in this day. By renewal the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou hast granted the privilege to enter those doors. And then we have heard out of thy holy word, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, O Lord. Thou art still gathering thy church. There is still room for us and our children and that golden chariot. And to that end, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly in our hearts to make room, therefore, a desire, a revelation, and a looking. Then we have heard solemn things out of thy holy word, letters to churches, where thy word has been richly blessed, many privileges, many blessings, many people of God, and yet solemn warnings concerning those churches, and concerning their errors, and concerning their sins. Then the admonishment to repent, and if they would not repent, then solemn warnings, ah, Lord. Then those churches, the candlestick has been removed. They are living in Egyptian darkness. And to that end, may it be our fervent prayer that the candlestick amongst us may burn brighter and brighter, that thy word may be blessed, that it may be experienced in the heart, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may bless thy word in this evening for the conversion of boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that thou may bless thy word to thy people. Oh, may it be their holy activity to be more holy, more humble, more thankful, more joyful, to fear to offend thee, to wound their conscience, to bring themselves into darkness, and that the gospel be not blasphemed. To that end, to be given to live out of thee and through thee, thy dear Son, to need him as prophet, priest, and king. Lord, wilt thou remember the poor and needy ones, where thou wast promised that thou shalt hear the needy when they cry, that thou shalt save their soul when death draws nigh, for this God is our salvation. Lord, do bless thy holy word in the church. Wilt thou help the consistory to that end? And where a season of instruction soon hopes to begin, wilt thou grant among our young people an upright and a sincere desire to remain with the truth under its external administration, that there be not divided hearts or those halting upon two opinions, but a profound impression of that all-tried truth and a sincere desire to remain under that truth and continual prayer to be saved through that truth, the work of a triune God. Help fathers and mothers to instruct their children. Bless our Christian school. Grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou help and remember all those that labor therein. When thy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, with all those that may labor therein. Ah, do continue, and thou shalt continue to uphold the true persecuted church. Wilt thou grant them continually the exercise of faith to be given to look upon the King who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team. And do continue to help that father and mother with the learning of a new language. May they be given to experience in special ways that thou knowest of them, with an eye upon the purpose to become a sower of the seed, that thy kingdom may come and that thy name may be glorified. Lord, grant a heart to acknowledge thee for the manifold blessings which thou granteth unto us. Then thou wast given a beautiful time to harvest where it is coming near completion. Then we also commend unto thee, because of lack of moisture, where there was no crop to harvest, or very little, wilt thou grant a bowing at thy footstool, and a humbling asking thee, that thou may care for them. And Lord, for the many, where the storehouses are overflowing, large and large piles, new piles, what has been harvested, may it please thee to also grant enlarged hearts, and may there be that activity, as we read of the brothers of Joseph, that they were busy with their presence before they would appear before Joseph. Ah, Lord, remember all the hungry ones upon the face of the earth. We commend unto thee a young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. Grant a place at thy footstool to be given to beg, that thou may go before them, that thou may be their guide, that thou may lead them, and above all, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Then by renewal, then we commend widowers, widows, orphans, those that are brought dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them and all our elderly ones, also our care home, with those that may lovingly care for them. Remember all under the care of the physicians, also sick relatives, all the different circumstances. They are known unto thee. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wilt thou remember the family circles? May love abound. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. May they be given to bow their knees and also to seek for help, asking that it may be blessed by thee. Lord, we humbly ask thee for the work of thy Spirit in speaking and in listening. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 238, the three stanzas. As Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, Psalter 238, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31, the question and answers, 83, 84, and 85. Question 83, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Question 85, how is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who were thereunto appointed by the church. And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. Lord's Day number 31 speaks of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven, with three thoughts. In the first place, the intent of the keys. Secondly, the separating key of the preaching of the gospel. And thirdly, the protecting key of Christian discipline. The two keys of the kingdom of heaven, the intent of the keys, the separating key of the preaching of the gospel, and the protecting key of Christian discipline. Beloved congregation, in the last Lord's Day than on the past, the last time, than our last point, that was excluded partakers referring to the Lord's Supper. And then we read at the end of answer 82, no, are the question, are they also to be admitted to the supper, who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? And then the answer, no. For by this, the covenant of God would be profaned, and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. Then concerning the institution and the partakers of the Lord's Supper, then the instructors have given a solemn warning concerning hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts, who eat and drink judgment to themselves. Then man is not a discerner of the hearts that belongs to the Lord. And to that end, when the instructors have spoken concerning excluded partakers, those hypocrites, and those that turn not to God with sincere hearts, they are earnestly warned in God's word. But now concerning those that must be excluded, those are those who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly. Thus then it concerns not infirmities of the flesh, but then it concerns doctrine and life. And then this Lord's Day, that also has instruction concerning the keys, because so we come to our Lord's Day concerning the keys of heaven, when that does not take place, no, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. We have the clear example in Joshua 7 of an Achan, that he has stolen what belonged to the Lord, and so the disfavor of the Lord came upon the children of Israel, that when they went to battle against that small city of Ai, that 36 of their soldiers were slain, thus the covenant of God profaned, and the wrath of God against the whole congregation. That is an awful thing, congregation, when the Spirit withdraws, when there are few conversions, when the prayer chambers become empty, when that opening at the throne of grace is clouded over, when God's people become lean. We have heard very solemn things out of Revelation 2. They were privileged and blessed congregations. The Lord has blessed the ministry of the apostles abundantly and richly. But then Christ has written to those churches, each church a specific letter, and there were still many good things we have heard it in those churches. Then Christ has praised them, But then there was that nevertheless, I have somewhat or a few things against thee. Congregation, if we would now receive such a letter, and of course we have the letter of God's word, and we have the letters to the seven churches, then we do well to lay ourselves beside those letters. But what letter would we need and what we receive? What then the king? What would he say, congregation? Ah, the Lord, let us never forget it. The Lord has left many good things amongst us. Lord is still gathering his church. That golden chariot still needs to be filled. But what would Christ now say? Nevertheless, would he say, I have somewhat, a few things, or many things against thee? And then for those churches, we have heard of the condition of the church, different sins that they have tolerated. And then there was a word that we have heard many times, and that is the calling to repent, for sinners to repent. And when there was no repentance, that such sinners must be put out of the church. And what a solemn word those seven letters are. A church flourishing, so richly blessed. Many people of God, and they tell us today, if you go in those areas, and we do not know here and there a soul in a little hut all alone with their Bible, but they tell us that we cannot find a church where the doctrines of free and sovereign grace are glorified. Thus, what an examination and what a warning. And to that end, so we come to Lord's Day number 31. Then there is written, therefore it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. And so Lord's Day number 31 also has special instruction for our youth. When soon a season of instruction hopes to commence, and we read in our confession of faith, according to God's word, in Articles 28 and Articles 29, that we are bound to join that church and not to separate ourselves from it. Thus, in that respect, in this Lord's Day, that also has much instruction for the confession of faith class, then it is the duty, the calling of our young people to become full members, but it must be in sincerity and in uprightness, not serving the world and the church, because the youth is the future of the church. Then we need to be convinced that the truth, as declared in God's word and proclaimed amongst us, that is the only truth, the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, and with profound impressions that we need to be saved by that truth. Therefore, the necessity for our young people not with divided hearts, or as we read of the children of Israel in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, to halt upon two opinions, but in the church we need a youth that is convinced of the five souls and to be willing to sacrifice, to love that truth, to be willing to strive for that truth. And now the question, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Then first the question is, what are we to understand by the kingdom of heaven? That in the first place, that is the work of grace, which the Spirit glorifies and works in the heart of his people. Then secondly, to understand it, the kingdom of heaven in its external manifestation in the visible church. And then in the third place, that kingdom of heaven in glory that is reserved for his people. And now in this Lord's Day, then it concerns the church. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? And then our boys and girls, they know what a key is. And that implies a door. And when we speak of doors, then we have an opening, think in the Bible. And Noah, in that ark, there was a door. And Noah has pointed that people to that door, that they must enter that door. Oh, that was the time of grace. But then there came a time after the animals have entered in. Then we would think people, that people that have seen it, that they would have thought, this is now the work of the Lord. Oh, that the Lord even inclines and calls all the animals, that we must also enter in. But 8 souls, and then the Lord has shut the door. We think of the tabernacle. Around that tabernacle, there was the court, also had a door in the scripture. Then we read of cities that had gates and houses that had doors. And now in our Lord's Day, it speaks of a key concerning that door. And then sometime it happened when there was a man, an owner with an estate and with a fence around that estate, and also concerning his dwelling, that owner sometime had to go on business. And then he gave the key of that door, we would say, to his right-hand man. Then that man did not become the owner of that estate, but then that key was entrusted unto that man that he could open and shut the door. Ah, when we think of the kingdom of heaven, think of that parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, and that the foolish virgins have come too late, and they have come to a shut door. Our boys and girls know the purpose of a key. That is when we come home, when you come home from church, and no one is home. Maybe there's someone home to take care of a baby. But if the whole family may come home, then your parents have a key to let you in. Because then door has been locked. We do not give a key to a robber. We do not give a key to the enemy. Thus that door is to keep some people out, to let other people in, and also to protect our valuables, that the robbers do not come and steal. And now on our Lord's Day, then it speaks of the kingdom of heaven. That is the glorious kingdom of grace. And now our Lord's Day, according to God's holy word, then it also speaks of that kingdom having a door, and then it speaks of two keys. Thus then in this evening we could speak of two doors, maybe even one behind the other. And now that first door, to open and to shut, that is the preaching of the gospel. And the second door, that is Christian discipline. Our second thought, the separating key of the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has said unto Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 15 verse 10, and if thou take the precious from the vial, thou shalt be my mouth. And the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 3, the verses 10 and 11, well to the righteous, and woe to the wicked. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer. And then it is necessary that those believers may be described, the different conditions of life declared, that their heart may be opened. Because with believers, it's a difference. Same thing in family circles. Then in family circles, they are not all the same age. Babies, children, young people, fathers and mothers. And so it is necessary that it may be declared, that the whole congregation may examine themselves. And then the instructors, by renewal, they are given to stress that such a believer comes to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. There are those children, those babes, as we read in God's word, that they desire the sincere milk of his words. Then there are those that are given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then it is needful for those believers, because they have many questions and they have many riddles, much which they cannot understand. They do not understand how it is possible how such a black sinner may receive a place in that golden chariot of the greater Solomon. Then it is necessary that the condition, the riddles of their heart may be explained. Oh, Christ has done so at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when he has stated those eight Beatitudes. But then it is necessary, because our instructors, they are stressing by renewal those further leadings. And now concerning that key, because when the Lord works by his Spirit, then we have much to do with that gate of justice. And then we learn that it is a narrow gate. And then it is necessary that by the Spirit that we come to a saving knowledge of that door, because those believers, they are exercised with all those pillars, oh, with His mercy, but also with His justice. And to that end, the necessity is our instructors, oh, young and old, may there be no resting outside of that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Oh, to be sure, where the Lord has begun that good work, He shall never forsake the work of His own hands. But our fathers have stressed different times not to rest. And then they are speaking from man's side. Then it can still fall both ways. And therefore, our instructors, they have said thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer, just the small ones, the bigger ones, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, then our instructors, they are given to speak of a true faith. And concerning that exercise, then in the scripture, it uses many terms, but they can only believe and embrace what is revealed unto them by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit worketh that faith by means, by His word, and by the sacraments. All this morning, then we have heard the exhortation, that word behold. It's a word for faith. If we think of Numbers 21, what that people that were bitten by that serpent, that poison that has permeated the whole body, a perishing, a dying people. And then Moses, boys and girls, what has Moses done? What was he commanded to do? To make a serpent of brass and to put it on a pole. And then he has told the people, when they may look on that serpent, even from afar, even a faint look, different measures of faith, then they would be immediately healed. Oh, when Numbers 35, there is spoken of a fleeing to that city of refuge. In the Bible, it speaks of trusting, receiving, leaning, committing ourselves, waiting upon the Lord. Those are all words that describe the exercise of faith. And now when it may be granted, 'tis the work of the Spirit, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merit. Thus that is the opening of the kingdom of heaven by the key of the preaching of the gospel. How is a congregation? Has that now taken place in our life? Then first another question. Have we been exercised with the closed door? Because if we are not exercised with the closed door, then we do not need that key. Then we can live outside of that kingdom. But now for a people that is exercised with the closed door, with the justice of God, and with their sins, undeserving, unworthy, and yet a heart full of love. Ah, that they cannot miss the Lord. And then when the word of God may be opened, and that rich gospel of Jesus Christ, with those promises and those invitations, and when there may be times that the word of God, that they may be included, and that can be with a refuge taken faith, also with that assurance, then the child of God desires to hear it from the Lord's mouth, as I read in Psalm 35, verse 3, I am thy salvation. But further, and on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, thus in this Lord's Day, then it speaks of believers and unbelievers. Not such a nice word, congregation, to be an unbeliever, not to believe in God, or at least to live, because we can confess it with our mouth, but to live as if there is no God, no death and no eternity, not to believe in his word, then we shall not be so concerned to obey it, and not to believe in his dear son for the pardoning of sins, and such, thus a further explanation, but also a further preaching, and such as do not sincerely repent. Thus it speaks of unbelievers and unbelievers who refuse to sincerely repent and follow hard after the Lord. How is that, congregation? Or do we simply refuse? Or that we put it off, and then further, and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation. So long, then the instructors they are calling to sinners, that they may turn unto the Lord, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Not so many words, but very profound. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you take those words home, and may it please the Spirit to bind them upon the heart. Oh, to have to do with a closed door, but a door that may still be opened, because we are still in the precious day of grace. And then it is also necessary concerning unbelievers, because there are many different classes. The Pharisees and the young rich ruler, they are trusting in their self-righteousness, but they believe not the testimony of God, that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Then there are others. It's also an awful thing to be such an unbeliever as we read of a Pharaoh, and with everything he has heard, the plagues which he has beheld, that he hardened his heart, that he refused to bow under the command and word of God. There are other unbelievers, not as hard. But I read in the parable of the sower that there was a class where the seed is fallen in that ground. It has come up, and it was choked by the riches and pleasures of this world. Too busy, we must work hard. And do not have the impression, congregation, that lawful employment for our mothers, for our fathers, that it stands in the way of grace. If we read the Bible, how often the Lord has come over to his people when they were working. Oh, there are other unbelievers that when they hear maybe even the last part of question and answer 84, that they begin to consider, a wonder needs to take place in my life. The door can still be opened, because the instructors say the possibility to be converted and to repent, but that they halt between two opinions. Ah, the beauty of the temporal things. They have the greater part. There can be other unbelievers that totally agree with the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, but that they use those doctrines to excuse themselves. And they are passive and not so diligent in using the means of grace. There are other unbelievers that are somewhat tender, emotional, and sometimes profound impressions of divine realities, but have never experienced that love shed abroad in the heart. There can be other ones that speak of matters, convictions, a change, even from the world to the church, many, many years ago, but nothing else takes place. Young and old can be so different. And do not think it does not make so much difference how we live. Do not come to the conclusion this evening, congregation, I'm an unbeliever anyway. Thus, whether I know a Pharisee or a Pharaoh or halting upon two opinions, the door shut anyway, dead in sins and trespasses, no. We have heard of that gospel chariot, that the call still comes to each and every one. And to that end, the instructors, with a solemn description of unbelievers, then they are given to speak of repentance and speaking of conversion. Let us first sing. Psalter 1. the first four stanzas. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat, and what follows Psalter 1, the first four stanzas. Thirdly, the protecting key of Christian discipline. There are many examples in the scriptures where Christian discipline has been administered in the Old and New Testament. For the time's sake, we must leave it lie. Let us mention what a blessing it would have been for King Solomon if the priesthood had exercised Christian discipline upon Solomon when he has begun to take heathen wives, when they have drawn his heart away from the Lord. Would have been a great blessing for Solomon. Would have been a great blessing for the land of Israel. It would have been a blessing for the generations to come. Many times when we speak of Christian discipline, then many understand it, that it is punishment. But it is a medicine. Could give a simple example, boys and girls. I have read once of a man that he has injured his toe. And as he was traveling, he went to a doctor. And the doctor said, "Friend, your toe is seriously diseased. To save your life, I must take off your toe." But that man did not want to lose his toe. Thus he traveled on, but he became worse. And the next town, he went to a doctor again. And the doctor looked at his foot, and he said, "Friend, it is very serious. And to save your life, I must take off your foot. That would be very painful." And he did not want to lose his foot. He became angry at the doctor. He traveled to the next town. And the disease came up his leg. And the next doctor says, "Friend, the only way that your life can be saved, I must take off your leg." That's no small thing, to lose a leg. He continued, and then to the next town. And then the doctor said, "Friend, it is too late. You must die." So we must understand Christian discipline. John Calvin has stated three reasons. The first place, for God's glory, that the name of the Lord be not blasphemed. In the second place, to bring the sinner to repentance. And in the third place, that the loyal members of the church, that they may be protected and kept from the rotten members. And now concerning Christian discipline, then many would like to begin at the end of that answer. But we must begin with brotherly admonishment, not to bring it on the streets of Ascalon. And when there is love and we have a friend that does wrong things, then we have not a desire to spread it abroad. But then it is necessary, not so easy, and not to stand above the sinner, but with a heart full of love, with compassion, with prayer, asking the Lord for the proper words to speak, that we are given to admonish with that godly sorrow, and telling him to repent. It is all written in Matthew 18, the verses 15 through 17. But when that admonishment is not taken to heart, then we read in Matthew 18 must be brought to the attention of the church. And the church is to admonish. There is silent censure that is not announced. Then the sinner may not partake of the sacraments, male members, not attend the male members' meetings, and when there is no repentance, then three steps, congregation in the back of the Psalter. Then you can read there of the three steps. And finally, that excommunication, what is serious and what a solemn matter that is. The first step, when it is announced that there is one that is living in a sin against one or more commandments, the congregation asked to pray, must be continual admonishment. There's no repentance. The second step, when the sinner and the sin is mentioned, and when there is no repentance, then finally, excommunication. But then there is added, because in the back of the Psalter, there's also a form for readmitting excommunicated members. Oh, alas, oftentimes, then many times sinners, they withdraw themselves, but they cannot escape the judgment of God. But then there is added, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. But then there is added when they promise, and not only promise, and show real amendment of life, are again received as members of Christ and of his church. How necessary to pray, congregation, with the psalmist of Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, and that the gospel chariot may still ride through the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou grant the application, O Lord? Convert what is unconverted. When there is a building upon sandy foundations, wilt thou uncover it, while it can yet and may yet? And wilt thou remember thy people? We may commence in other week. Ah, wilt thou graciously watch over each and every one of us, wherever we are called to be. Ah, teach us more how dependent we are upon thee in all our ways, that thou hast our heartbeat in thy hand, and that we may be given to use this precious time of grace to seek and to find thee. Wilt thou remember the mothers in the home with the children? Wilt thou remember at work? Remember on the way? Remember at school? Remember the students studying in institutions of higher learning? Wilt thou bless the labors of our hand? Wilt thou provide for the coming Sabbath day? Wilt thou help the consistory? Help the custodians, those that lead the congregational singing, and those that are all actively involved in our Lord, that the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, may be in Aaron and Hur. Wilt thou also remember when with the brother deacon we hope to be in the midst of our branch on the coming Lord's Day, and where the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered. Wilt thou remember those young parents with their little child? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and graciously watch over us in the night watches, that we may awake refreshed, courage for our labors which thou hast laid upon us. Keep us from sin and temptation. Take us under thy good care and thy kind protection, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 138, the stanzas 1 and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men, my statutes why do you declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. And what follows, Psalter 138, the stanzas 1 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.